ask you, Mishalom, to explain, to help us understand, to come into the inyan of Machshava B'derech Chassidus, of how to access our neshamas and how to invest our neshama into all that we do through the Koyach HaMachshava. We already learned last time that the same way it's obvious that a microphone, that the microphone is not the makar, is not the source of any voice or any sound, but that the job of the microphone is simply a way for that sound, which is coming from the makar of the person, to somehow to communicate that to a larger group of people through this electronic thing that's called a microphone. So too, we learned that it's not the eyes that see, and it's not the ears that hear. The eyes are seeing because there's a koach of a neshama that's called ri'iyah, that the neshama sees. As I'll say that, ro'yeh ve'neiros on the neshama sees. It's not seeing, but it sees. And the neshama hears. There's a koach of shmir, of hearing, that the neshama has. The ears are kli to pick up on sounds, but the sounds are meaningless unless a person is thinking about it, unless a person engages the neshama. And we learn the mashal at the end of the door, with looking through the keyhole into the room and seeing the handwriting, and then afterwards, slowly but surely, the door opens, and it's clear that it's not a pen, it's not a hand, but there's a ben adam, there's a human being who's writing. And the human being himself is only the neshama that's in the lavush, in the garments of a body. So who's writing? Whatever that person. That person's name is Yaakov ben Shimon. So Yaakov ben Shimon is writing. That's the eye. The eye of the person is the neshama. The neshama is writing something. We look at the outside and we see there's an arm, there's a hand, there's ink, there's paper, and so on. But the actual author of those words that we first thought were somehow, it was somehow being written miraculously by some arm or by some hand, but once the door opens and you see that there's a person there, this person is a whole world of feelings and of thoughts. So the eye of the person, the neshama, the machshava, that's put into what the person does. So he continues to explain on page 77, Ois Gimel. Rabba ha-to'elos kasha makir mavchina b'kiyumai shel koach ha-machshava. It's going to sound initially very obvious, but it's not at all. He says, how great is the to'elos, how great is the benefit when we recognize and we begin to think about this koach that we have, the koach ha-machshava, of thinking. And to see the great difference between actions that take place in our lives into which we do not invest our machshava, our thoughts, compared to those things that we do in life into which we invest the machshava, the neshama. The difference is like between a guf and a neshama. A guf and a neshama. Because the machshava, the thought that a person puts into something, is the neshama l'guf. Is the soul, is the neshama l'guf. Yes v'sayim na'ois k'me'ilayim. Lips, the lips of a person can move almost on their own, automatically. Ka'olim beruach na'ikshay zubazu, like leaves that are knocking into each other in the wind. So a person is able to say Ashrei, you've been saying Ashrei many years, you've been saying Ashrei, you've been saying a Kriyishma, if you've been saying an Ashrei Yotz and a Shahakal, if you've been saying those words long enough, so then the lips are able to repeat and to say these words, but it's a guf without a neshama. It's a body without a soul. V'yesh anefolos mikrach ha-machshava. But then there are words that we say that come from the Kach HaMachshava, words that we think about before we say them. Umavatais Pnimius Mesiemes, and then the words are an expression of something of the neshama, something. It's very hard to speak completely in such a way of neshama, but something. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, they're different madrigas. But when the machshava is put into those words, then those words are a guf that are enlivened with the presence of the neshama. That's what machshava is. Marachaku elam ela. How great is the distance between words that are spoken just by lips moving, even though they make sense, but words without the neshama, and those words that have a neshama, the neshama being the machshava that's invested into those words. Kama gedoyla mashmus is he asiyah pshuta. How significant and how important it is, even the simplest little act in the world, a simple thing. Hanas says bekapris ayadaim. We're not talking about any kind of a deep, amazing project. We're talking about simple work that's done with a person's hands. Kashem tzurefes eleha machshava pshuta. When that simple task of the hands is infused with the machshava pshuta, with machshava, with thought. Bar heichen chaseir neshama. And how much we feel the neshama is missing. When the same action takes place, but it takes place in such a way, bestamius, stam, leloit siruf machshava, without there being any presence of the machshava, of thought. The person could be doing this, again, it's a very simple thing, so he does it almost automatically. He can do it without thinking. But there's such a difference between the same act that takes place with the machshava and the same. Can you imagine if when you and I, every single time, if we would say the words Baruch Hashem, if we would actually think about them, you know how different our lives would be? Be totally different. We would be totally different people. Every time we said, everybody here says Baruch Hashem many times during the day, Baruch Hashem. And we should continue to say, and have reasons to feel grateful and to thank Hashem for all that we have. So we say Baruch Hashem. I guess Baruch Hashem. I told you more than once, that when the children were little and they said they wanted to go, I should take them to the park, to some park somewhere, and I said to them, I don't know which kids they were, I said, Imir Hashem. And one of the kids said, no, we really want to go. And I thought about that. After I said, it's terrible. I said to my wife, imagine when I say the words, Imir Hashem, the children already understand it's a way of saying, listen, I really would take you to the park. I guess God didn't want you to go to the park. And the proof is, you didn't end up going to the park. It must be that God didn't want you going, because I left it up to him, Imir Hashem. Imagine if you were thinking about those words every time we say them, Im Yetzeh Hashem, Baruch Hashem. If you think about the words Baruch Hashem, I'm not even talking about a Baruch Hashem, Hakel, an Hashiyatza. It's to say Baruch Hashem, and to think about that, what it means. So he says, you know, Havelin atop is Gavaya. Let's use it right. He said, let's not jump. In other words, let's not try to climb too high. Let's use a simple example. Listen how simple and how beautiful this is. He says, Yadayim hanoit lois min ha'oron tzalachas noah. The hands of a person, the hand reaches up into the cabinet and takes out a nice dish from the cabinet. La'ater is shulchan Shabbos. Why? To put on the Shabbos table. This must be talking about Friday night, because by Shabbos day it's already all plastic. But the person reaches into the cabinet to take a beautiful dish to put on the Shabbos table. V'amachshova mislave el hamaisa. And the person thinks about what he or she is doing. Thinks about it. And that machshova, the thought, joins the physical act of taking the Shabbos plate from the cabinet. U'payelis hirur yozum. And there's this daring thought. Pu'ula zu mechabedes es Shabbos HaMalka. This act, this what I'm doing right now, is mechabedes es Shabbos HaMalka. Whether it's Thursday night, it's Friday during the day. Right now, what I'm doing, reaching my hand, the simple thing, I've done thousands of times, but I've done it like not thinking. Now I'm thinking, when I take this plate, I'm thinking that this simple act of taking a plate from a cabinet is mechabedes es Shabbos HaMalka. It's mechabed Shabbos HaMalka. Here a nigger. So then the person continues and has the following thought. L'Hashem Yisbaruch ein hevdel ben salachas plastic leben chasinim uteris bekav kesef. But the Baruch Shalom is an afkimina, whether or not it's a plastic plate or it's some fancy, it's a fancy china with some silver border. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who cares? Ava me'acha shelo zois yikari kibud ben anashim. But since we understand, it's obvious that in this world there is a kibud. There is a kibud. There's a chshivas to putting out a nice piece of china over a plastic plate. There's a chshivas in this world. This is our way of showing kavod to the whole world. That we're mechabed Hashem. It's true. What's the nafkin by Hashem? It's plastic or it's china. But in this world, which is the world that we were put into, I'm mechabed Hashem's baruch by putting out this dish. Oysim anu was hatayiv b'yoyseh b'musogim shalanu. In other words, on page 78, I will do the best of, to my ability, according to my understanding of what's nice in this world, and what I can afford, obviously, with the belief that this simple act is a way of expressing my longing for Hashem's Baruch, my connection to Hashem. It's a simple example. Setting a Shabbos table. It's the simplest thing. Kama shayna pulazu. How different the same physical act is. How different than just taking a plate out and thinking about this and thinking about a thousand other things, putting it on the table. Even though you mechabed Shabbos both ways. But it's totally different. When you just put it on the table, stam, it's a guf without a neshama. It's a body without a soul. But when your machshava is invested, then there's a neshama. There's a neshama. Especially Kavod Shabbos, which is Yom HaNishmas, is the day of the neshama, the day of the soul. Every thought that a person puts into the food, when you go to buy the food, in the Kavod Shabbos. All of the Kedusha of Shabbos, all the Kedusha of Shabbos enters into that food. If you buy something, a shirt or whatever it is for Shabbos, the Kavod Shabbos. When you get dressed for Shabbos, you put on the Shabbos clothing, the Kavod Shabbos. Not just to say the words, then it becomes also Baruch Hashem. But the machshav of Shabbos, and that I'm using my musig of what Kavod is. In Tavshin Ayin Beis, my musig of Kavod is this nice shirt that I got with this special shirt that I don't wear on Tuesday or Wednesday, I wear on Shabbos. And with this musik that I have of Kavod Shabbos, I want to give honor to the Bari Olam who gave us Shabbos. Takes a second, such a machshava. It's a different mice altogether. And if there would be a special kind of a machine that could look at that shirt and see it for what it is now, it's a totally different shirt. The same shirt that cost whatever it was, I don't know what shirt cost, but the same shirt. That's the $25 a shirt, but when it's seen with this special thing that monitors Kedusha, it has a neshama. It's a lebedika, living, breathing Shabbos-dika organism. It's mamash has a chias of Shabbos. It's a different thing. And what brought that about? 2 seconds of machshava. 2 second machshav. It's totally different. Kama shayna pulazu, the first line on page 78. How different this act is. When it comes together with machshava. the thought. Mipu'ula nutelas netulas raish, compared to an act that is missing any mashav, that's missing a head, that doesn't have any thought. Chaser is ruach chayim, that doesn't have a ruach chayim at all. Doesn't have ruach chayim. Person that goes to the store, they buy all these birthday cards, anniversary cards, or whatever, all these different greeting cards, these kinds of cards that have a nusach written from somebody. And there's somebody that told me that he wanted to write something very personal to his kala, and he went online to find different nuschois. See, he asked me if I could add something from the parasha. That's what he called me to ask. It's happened before the summer. He found that, he says, don't worry, no, I got something nice to say. From the computer, he found something nice. I don't know, there's something like that, a website for mushy cards or something, I don't know. He pressed that. But he wanted a little bit from the parasha. She's very from the girl. He wanted to make a nice impression, so he wanted a little bit something from the parasha. Just, you know, to spice it up a drop for the Shabbos or whatever. He was giving her a card. I said, what does it mean to a person to go online? And to go, what if she went to the same website? She saw that you got that from the website. It's like, I have a sister-in-law, when she was little, she's much younger than my wife, was an English major. She loves English and poetry, you know, she was. So there was a poem from Emerson, a magnificent poem that my wife really loved, and she copied it from the book, and she put it in her drawer because she liked it so much. She didn't have a photo, so she just wanted a copy to have on this paper, this beautiful poem from Emerson. So her little sister, my sister-in-law, that poem was a little girl, so they had some assignment to write a poem for school. So she just was like going through her sister's drawer, and she found this poem from Emerson, like one of the most famous poems in American history, Avell's poem. And so this like 8-year-old girl, 10-year-old, whatever, she gave it in, she said, this is my poem. And I think she, are you kidding? You know. This, by the way, is another casualty of the generation of texting and Blackberries and all of that expression, writing a letter with feelings and with emotion, with machshava. Somebody was telling me that even with the texting, because it has certain, there's a certain way to write with Rosh Hashanah and different things, that people don't even say thank you and please. I'm so grateful. The normal, simple thought that human beings always put into communication, into expressing themselves. The children now, they're learning to write a lashon without machshava. Without machshava, writing letters is very fair. There's no way to write letters. I don't know, with the emails, it's also done with abbreviations and short, and how people are writing these emails to each other. It's two different worlds. This is a gufa, the neshama. This is a living letter. This is something which is alive, and the person that wrote it is himself in these written letters. And the other thing is, it's a gufa, that neshama. They're two different worlds. This union of what's happening with the texting, with this is, we didn't see yet what's going to be with all of this, where this is going. So, on so many levels, but this is one. This is one union that's slowly, not even so slowly, that's fading away. The machshava that goes into writing a love letter. The machshava that goes into writing to a parent a letter when you're away. Is sent to a father, to a mother, a letter. It's getting lost. Oid hear her, hine zeba. And here's another thought. Simcha v'yikar b'bayis. A thought that a person can have when you're taking down the plate from the cabinet for Shabbos. Simcha v'yikar b'bayis. There's a big simcha we're having in the house. You know what it's like in the house of a kala when they're making a lechaim or a vart? Oh boy, what's going on over there with all everything? So imagine Erev Shabbos, a person taking down the plate, has a machshav. Simcha v'yikar b'bayis. We have a big simcha and a big kavod here in the house. Melech bolis areach. There's a king. Right? We don't connect with that stuff. The kings, but there's a very, very, very big chashuv person, a big tzaddik that's coming to our house. B'shivtai b'reish ha-shulchan. So let's imagine this. So the king sits at the head of the table. Nikra Misharis Shachar Ma'achari Harachamai. That's a little bit of a racist thing over there. We'll skip over that in the tape. But there's a servant that comes over there from behind the stove. Laniach Lafonav Tzalachas Zahav. And he puts a beautiful golden plate in front of the king. L'chayra Kol Tov Yafa. What can we bid? So it's a beautiful plate, the nicest china. And the servant came, or the maid, whatever, came and put the plate by the king. Hainesta Pulishal Kovit. It's a very big Kovitika thing to have the servant place this beautiful china in front of the king. Havala Kovit Atzmai Nechse Hemena. The Kovit is not what should be the Kovit. What's missing? What's missing is that how is it that the Baal HaBos didn't run over to the king himself to put a plate in front of the king? How could it be? That's what we see. The Tanoim and the Amoraim, the Gemara, and the Rambam brings down the Halacha. We see that they were always busy with Shabbos, with Kavod Shabbos. Even the biggest tzaddikim were busy with Kavod Shabbos. Dag hamer areyach lepula v'loy lelev shemachareya. Yes, the one who was welcoming the king, the Baal HaBos over there, the owner of the house, he was worried to make sure that everything should happen in a b'kavodik way. The one thing that was missing was the machshava, that machshava of himself. Even though everything was taken care of properly. Which is, you can't compare if the Baal HaBos himself comes over and he walks with a plate, even if it's not gold, zahav or lo, even if it's less of an expensive plate, but the Baal HaBos himself comes over, will be a dayim roados mizragshus v'simcha, and the king sees that his hands are trembling with excitement, with emotion, and with joy. And he puts it before with great beauty and honor in front of the king. A yid can have such a machshava when he takes out from the cabinet a plate for Shabbos, and he puts it on the table, the Shabbos malchus by the table. Such a machshava, it's not hard. I'm bringing this to the table of the king as a way of being mechabed the king myself. Not like you have some people that they could afford it, so they have the cleaning lady set the Shabbos table. I don't know what the person's such a thing, it's not hard to set a table, but there are people that they have. It's like by the Bedichtov, the famous Meister with the Bedichtov Switzerland, that the Bedichtov's father-in-law was very, very wealthy. I mean, you all know the story of the Bedichtov, and they were having a poor person that was coming for Shabbos that his father-in-law was having in the house. So the Bedichtov ran to make the bed and to clean the room for the poor person. So the Shver, the Bedichtov's father, was very upset, and he said, because he has this famous great tzaddik of a son-in-law, this genius, and that he should be making a bed for some schlepper and cleaning. So he said, Lev Yitzchak, he said, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting the room ready for the guest. So his father-in-law said, but I have the shiksa that does that. I have the girl that does that. So the Rebbe Yitzchak said, it's bad enough you want to take away from your mitzvah, you want to give my mitzvah to a guy. I don't understand. It was so pashut to him. Why would you want to give my mitzvah away to someone who's not even chayav mitzvahs? Why are you giving my mitzvah to another person? It's the most obvious thought. But It's just a different way of thinking. Well, the famous thing they say from Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, that years and years ago in Teirei V'Das, that they had to move the class, they had to take the chairs to a different room. So everybody picked up the chair and they started to go to another classroom. They had to do some work in that room. So everybody picked up the chair. And Rav Shraga Feivel said, Shaitan. He says, if you would have picked up his chair and he would have picked up your chair, you could have had a mitzvah. Now, you took your own chair and he took his chair. Nobody got a mitzvah. Stam Yishlepes. He said, if you would have taken his chair and he was taking your chair, you would have had a mitzvah. Because it's that machshava, it's that difference of a neshama, of thinking that way. Yosef kol mayach latavis mishaloi, that every single mind weave into the thoughts. It's all machshavas. Here, hurum elo chaylo, whatever you like. Obviously, one should try to be original and to think. We could try this erev Shabbos. Whatever, there's such a thing. V'haysel Hashem Hamelucha. V'haysel Hashem Hamelucha. It's the whole difference. V'haysel Hashem Hamelucha. Dalet. Shlav Nosaf. Kashem Avchinem. Shamachshav Ikra Chushim Umakaran. Once we begin to pay more attention to this, that it's not my eyes that see and my ears that I hear, but it's my neshama that's looking, and it's my ears that are, my neshama that's listening. These are just microphones or whatever, lenses. But my neshama is what's looking, and my neshama is what's listening. L'meidim l'hokir as ha'oitzma ha'gedoyla shel ha'machshava be'ayose ba'atzmiyusa. We begin to appreciate, to recognize and to appreciate the power, the unbelievable strength of machshava, when it's let loose, what machshava can do. Mufshetes menachush, meaning we were just using examples of connecting one's thoughts to something that you're doing. So we just gave an example. Now we gave an example of taking out a plate with a machshava, looking at something with a machshava, listening to something with a machshava. But then there's something else, a higher madrega. Now this is going to sound very, very shocking. Just a machshava. A machshava for the sake of a machshava. Just thinking. Not thinking about what you're doing. Not thinking about what you're seeing or what you're hearing. Just thinking. Machshava. Ve'yoyse ba'atzmiyusa muvshetes menachush. A machshava that's completely independent of any of the senses, of any chush. Eyes are closed. Just a machshava. Da'ayinu, kasha adam poshut chayshev. When a person simply thinks, just thinks. Mahar, is thinking. Ma'afil es etzem ha-machshava, not because a thought is forced upon him, because where am I going to be? I'm supposed to be at some meeting at 9 o'clock, and it's already 8:30, and he's got all these machshavas. That's not the machshava. Talking about a person, it's quiet, and a person is mafil as a machshava, as etzem a machshava. He intentionally, in a focused way, activates this etzem machshava. Thought itself, not of what I'm seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, thought itself. Lachshav. Klar meloya de shilavim krechaseh. Losses mashmos lupulas chusheh. Not to give some meaning to what is, to try to understand what am I reading, what am I seeing, what am I smelling, what am I hearing. No, none of that. Just machshav. Not machshav to interpret what my senses are experiencing. Not that kind of machshava. That's already interpreting data. That's already a perish. Talking about machshava, l'shem machshava. Keta ze tzarech hachava, v'yiftach l'hizbayar, v'yiposach l'hizbayar al pi mashal. This we have to look into more, and let's begin with a mashal. Amen. Amen. Soicha Badin. Listen, what an interesting mashal. Yeah, let's try to imagine. There's a guy that sells material. He sells materials. Hamaytzi misvosav es milos etfila. And this guy, let's call him Yankel. Yankel is in this business of material, and it's time for him to daven. He's davening. He's saying the words of davening. Ubayse eis eiskeis yoda b'mishus sigu k'tifa shaynim shel tike talisais. Now, it happens that on the table, a couple of guys have their talis bags, and they're not all with the plastic. There's some leather. There's some what's it?
Velvet.
Yeah, velvet. They're different talis bags, right? So this guy is in the business. He's in the malacha. So he's kind of okay. Something happens. So yeah, right. He's davening. Whatever it is, he's davening. But over there, he sees that this guy next to him, whatever Nochem, has a new talis bag. It could be from the competition also. You understand? He's in the same business. And he goes, he's just touching a little bit with the, he's touching the talus big, like this. That's all. La'avchin behem in uzayofim heima, so he's a, you understand, the guy's a mumcha, so he knows right away this is not real velvet, or this is not real leather, or it is real leather, he knows right away. La'hakim imagom e'ezebes yoytziyotzu, he also knows right away by touching it which factory this is from. He knows where this comes from. Afterwards, he's talking to somebody. He says, I'm having problems with my kavana by davening. And I'm not able to pay attention, to turn my heart towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm standing there davening. I'm not able to concentrate. So we would tell the guy, what do you think? What were you expecting from that davening? You were at work. You're in that business. You're in the shmata business, and there was a shmata on the table, and you were like that with this. You were touching the shmata. That's your business. So the guy says, "What are you talking about?" I wasn't talking anything about business. And svasai his palu loy harif. I didn't once interrupt my Shema Esrei. I said every word of Shema Esrei. Rak mishashti. I was just touching the big. I was just touching the palace big. Umabakach. That's what's the big deal? Why did that ruin my kavanah? Kolach mimashish. There could be a guy on the other side of this palace big that was also touching the palace big. But there's a big nafkimah. You know what the big nafkimah is. The guy on the other side, he's not in that business. The guy on the other side is a doctor or something. So people will touch something that's, especially if it's soft or it's nice, but it doesn't take anything of the person. There's no machshav in that. That's not his malacha. He's a doctor. It doesn't mean anything to him. But that's your malacha. You're in that business. And you're standing there touching this big. He says, "Kolach mamashesh, gam mishoich a siddur." We mean everybody's touching something. You're holding a siddur. Umeniach yodav al shulchan mesakne. Or you're touching the shpender or the table in shul. So what's wrong about touching the talis big? He doesn't understand. Why are you telling me that that has an effect on my kavana? Yeah, everybody's touching the siddur. He's touching the table. This guy's holding his jacket. The other one's holding his tzitzis. So what is it? What is it that I'm doing that would in any way stir my kavana? That contributes to my lack of kavana. Masbirim loy, of course, we explained to him. Shein adayma, there's no comparison. Atat tziravta machshava lemishush. You see, the difference is as follows. You know every single factory. You know every single factory in town. You know all the places in Borough Park or in Monroe or wherever it is that they make these bigs. Williamsburg, you know all these places, the six places that make talis bigs. And you have a shaykhaz each of these places. And you're in this malacha. So, when you're touching a talis big, it's not the same thing as the doctor that's touching a talis big. Therefore, the very fact that you were touching something to which your machshava naturally has a connection means that you are already no longer in the world of davening. You are in the world of business. You see people not daven, they use the BlackBerry to daven. I've seen that. That they use the BlackBerry, because you could put the whole siddur on there. One of the Chavir showed me, he has on the thing, Nusach Ari, Nusach Svad, Nusach Asmas, Nusach Fayidot HaMizra, on the BlackBerry. And not only that, the BlackBerry knew that it was Rosh Chodesh, he showed me. It knew that it was Rosh Chodesh. It had already Yalavi Ova on it. It didn't have to say when it's Rosh Chodesh. It just had there for Rosh Chodesh. I don't know how it goes with the Zman, when it disappears Rosh Chodesh, but whatever it is, it has Rosh Chodesh. So besides the question of halacha about doing such a thing, Rav Ozner is against it, completely against it. Because Rav Ozner says it's a din in Shulchan Aruch not to hold something expensive when you're davening. Because then your mind is that you might drop it, it might fall. So aside from the question of halacha, it's a very questionable thing of halacha, Rav Ozner passed because he's not allowed to use it. But aside from that, this is the very same machine. The very same machine that has on it all of your numbers, all of your appointments for that day, all of your tzaris, it's on this thing, on that very same machine. How could you daven with that in your hand? Unless you're not thinking about anything. But you're holding in your hand, it could be that you have the next 2 weeks schedule in your hands. You have all your appointments for the day that you're holding in your hand, and also has on it Kodesh, 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 Hashem Tzavakas. On so many levels, it's such a simon of what we're living in. That's what it is. It's very sad. So it's a pella. Without the tchotchke, it's hard enough to have kavana. But the tiny is, what are you talking about? What's the big deal? So if I'm holding a siddur, it's the same thing. I'm looking at the words in the siddur. I'm looking at the words on my BlackBerry. What's the difference? What's the difference? Of course there's a difference. It's two different worlds. The siddur is the siddur for tefillah. And that's all it is the Bari Olam. Our siddurim is just the Kadosh Baruch. That's all the siddur is. Just the Bari Shlomo. That's all. Even then it's hard enough. It's so hard for us to concentrate. Now you're holding the same machine that has on it the latest news about how many people survived the tsunami, or whether or not the guy you voted for won, and it's in there someplace. Or the latest story of what happened in Eretz Yisrael, this or that, and it's in there. It's in that thing. It's in that clique. That's what you're holding in your hands when you're down. If a person doesn't, if you don't hear this, if you don't feel the problem with this, it means that you're very, very, very far from tefillah. I mean, we're all having problems with davening. But if this chiluk is not clear, in other words, if you're prepared, maybe you won't because you want to be nicer, but if you're prepared to fight about this, so when you leave the room here, you're going to say, I thought that thing with the BlackBerry was over the top. It means you're far, far, far from tefillah. I just think of the Chalitz Chaim and see such a thing. And he would say, what else you got in there? And he'd say, I'll show you, Rabbi. And you open up and you empty out everything that's in the BlackBerry. And it all goes onto the table. And the Chalitz Chaim said, that's what you're holding by davening? I said, no, I'm not finished. That's I'm not finished. You empty out from the BlackBerry onto the table. You have people touching their cell phones. And not even some of the ones that don't even know to turn it off. People make mistakes that they have with it. They run out from shul talking on the cell phone. And I'm not talking about a doctor. Of course the doctor has to. I'm talking about Stam, another Pliny Almighty. He runs out. Yes, yes, yes. Shh, I'm in shul. Shh. So if you're in shul, why do you take it with you into shul? Why do you have it on the shul? The Torah says it could be that there's a big emergency. I don't know. I've never had such an Indian that at any minute they can go off at a Levaya, at a Chasna. How are you supposed to think about Chasna Kala? People sit by chasnas like this, spell levayas like this and this. And of course you care about the levay, you care about the chasn, you care. It's, you don't know what it means, a chasn kala, you have no musig of what it means that a Jew has just died and left the world. If you could sit there like that, there's no musig of what it means, chasn kala. And just forget about how the chasn kala would be offended if they saw that. Now, of course, you say that you did the same thing last week to me when I got married. But how offended they would be. So I'm not talking about Ben Amachavera. There's not a musik of what it means, a Yiddish simcha. Where a Jew, it used to be where a Jew could give his heart into a simcha. Not every 5 seconds going out to the hallway looking at this and looking at that. It's not even a simcha. You know, it's a goof for that in the Shema. Our simchas now, our levayas. A levaya, a goof for that in the Shema. Even a levaya. From my levaya. I was lowly, I was by levaya today. I'm not exaggerating. You see, a significant number of the people in the pews over there in this chapel were on the thing. A little bit lower down, but they're on the thing. They're looking at their thing. And it wasn't Kippur Chatilim. During their spedim. During the tilim, like this. So he says, you're in a different world. You're in the material business. When you're touching the talisbig, it's not the same thing as a guy that doesn't know anything about it. He just happens to... That doesn't mean anything. If your hand is on the table and you go like this, or your hand's on the... It doesn't mean anything, but for you it means something. And the same way, there's no meaning at all if you just have your hand on the stender, you have your hand on the table. It doesn't mean anything because you have no, there's no connection to anything you're thinking about. So too, if your lips are just saying words and you're not thinking about what you're saying, you're just saying words without thinking. As if a person's lips are moving. The lips are moving. But the machshava, like with this guy with the talisman, but his machshava is on something else. Even though he'll say, I'm not thinking about the talisman. I'm not thinking about it. But it's already he's not in the same world. He's not in the same world. You have another guy, let's say, he's a dermatologist. He's a big, big chosh of a dermatologist. And some guy standing next to him with the strangest skin disease in the whole America. Got all kinds of things, Khalil, all over his face. And this guy is the biggest dermatologist. And he's trying to daven Shemoneh Esrei next to this guy with this thing that hasn't, you know, since 1842 they didn't have such a case. And this guy's standing next to this, and the doctor's standing next to this guy davening. And he's looking like this, he's looking like this. That's his malacha. So he's already in a different world of what can I do for him, what happened, and it's like this, and he has all these different, you know, professional things that he knows about, some kind of a sickness. Kamaychein, the bottom of the page. Moichei abayis ha-mashakua, tarkidei tefila, barachas minita, a guy that sells spices or different kinds of fragrance things, he sells... Barachas mini tabaka sabi besom. Shemach shavto mechabartai al chushareach. Same thing. He's diving in a room with some kind of spice or something, whatever. He's a mumch in this Indian. So for him, that already touches off different machshavas, different associations. Islam, the other people are diving, they just have, this is the smell. But for the guy that's a maven, in that malacha of perfume or something, when the machshava connects the person to the chushareach, to that sense of smelling. The same smells go into the noses of everybody that's in shul. But remember that the machshavas of everybody that's in the shul are not connected at all to these smells. There's a smell, but it's not that there's a machshava of what that smell is and where it comes from and how it's made. So for those other people, it's kainokai. It's like these. It's like those things don't exist. It doesn't make a difference. Therefore, those can be completely given to Hashem. El ha-niklat ba-oznov o-be-einov. And so it is with a person who's davening. And at the same time, he's thinking about all the things that he's hearing, the noises that he's hearing, or the things that he's seeing. Kol amar hamasikim esehurov, that get his mind, even in a very subtle way, get his thoughts moving. It doesn't have to be a deep thought. It's just not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hey, bekach noisin mashmos lechushim eila hamafilim esamachshava. By doing this, he is relocating the focal point of the machshava to something else, to his chushim, to the chush of smelling. Yom kain zu'ena pnuya lahar be'ikah. Therefore, the mind is not completely free to be focused on what he should be focused. If what we're saying is correct, that the chush, that smelling, hearing, seeing, can either be without the machshava or it could be with machshava. Like the guy that knows about the materials, so when he touches something, a material, it's touching with machshava. The guy that knows about perfume, when he smells something, he smells it, but it's not just like me and you. He smells it, but there's a machshava. Ubekach lishoiv elav es kol adam, and that machshava has the ability, the natural ability, to draw the person completely into it. That's the nature of machshava. Since the machshava is rooted in the neshama, and the neshama is the essence of the person, therefore, the machshava that a person has, it could be something so unimportant. The guy will tell you, what do I care about this talus being? Okay, I am an expert in the materials, but what do I care about it? Even the slightest opening from machshava into a chush, and that combination takes place of machshava together with what you're feeling or smelling or hearing or seeing, it already means that you're in a different place. You're in a different place. It has an ability, machshava is bechach lishoiv elav es kol ha'odam. When the machshava joins together with a chush, it has a tremendous, tremendous power to pull the person completely. L'davkei b'inyin shabay Isaac, and to connect him to what that thing is that he's seeing or hearing. Halachas kama v'kama. Now that's just a simple physical thing, like touching a talus big, or smelling some perfume. That's a simple thing. Could you imagine halachas kama v'kama? Kasha adam chayshev alini nacher, when a person is actually thinking about something else by davening, thinking a machshava about something else, not like the guy that just is touching the talus big and that's his business, or that smells the perfume and he's in that business, where already it sets off a certain thing that takes him away, or the guy that all day long is using his BlackBerry for business and now he uses the BlackBerry for davening. How much more so when a person is mamish thinking about something else by davening? When the person's mind goes and is thinking about something, could be something that's close, it's far away, whatever it is, could be something that was or something that will never ever even be. And this is not a machshava that's coming from one of the chushim, which itself is powerful, just by touching something, by smelling something, by hearing something. But if it's a machshava, which is what? The loimikach achad chushim, not a machshava that's connected to one of the senses, that you happen to see something, or you happen to hear something, but rather what? A loimikach is atzma, a machshava atzma. When it's mamash a thought, you're thinking about something, not something that you happen to see, or you happen to touch, or you happen to smell, or hear. But you're in the world of machshava. Machshava atzma. Hari oz ha'odam kuloi munach u'motzu isham b'poyal mamash. We know that from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and from other tzaddikim, that what the person is thinking about, that's where the person is. And we have stories about that, and many, many tires in that, in which we'll see some tires. That where you're thinking is where you really are. That's who you really are. Like when the Beditcher welcomed the guy back from the marketplace in Leipzig, welcome back to Beditcher, and the guy says, Rebbe, I've never been to Leipzig in my life. So the Beditcher says, that's not true, by Mincha, that's who you were. That's who you were by Mincha. It was the Stalin's yahrzeit last week. He was a Kaddish Elyon. Bab Mar Melech was a Kaddish Elyon. The one that was killed in the Holocaust. He was playing the violin. All ma'aseh with him. He said Tzadik Yisod Olam. So it's a whole story about how he was at that time. He was in Eretz Yisrael right for a few months. He was visiting Eretz Yisrael, the Chassidim Eretz Yisrael, before the Milchama, and before the Holocaust broke out. And at that point, it was quite a bit before the Holocaust. And at that point, there was still a lot of talk that it's not going to be this, it's not going to be that. And for those months, the whole time he was in Yerushalayim, he was crying. There's going to be an unbelievable shechita in Europe. And he was saying things that were befeirish, open, mamish open. Open Ruach HaKodesh, what was going to happen? And he went and he went up to Tzvas, he davened in Meiron, he went to the Arizal, and he walked away, and he says he thought he was going to be able to be Pearl. He was crying, I couldn't be Pearl anything. And then to make matters worse, he told the Chassidim that he's going back to Europe. He's going back to Poland. And they were crying that how could it be? It's a whole long thing what happened there. How could he go back? He himself says what's going to be there. He says he's not leaving his family, he's not leaving the Chassidim. He's going back. And they're begging him, they sent all the Gedolim in Yerushalayim to ask him to stay. And he made up his mind, B'shum Eifen, I'm not staying, I'm going back to Poland. So you're supposed to take a boat, you're supposed to get the boat in Yafo. By Tel Aviv Yafo, by Yafo, you're supposed to get the boat. In those days they were leaving from Yafo. You're supposed to get the boat in Yafo. And there was a whole thing with a car on the way, and there was a flat, and there's all kinds of things happening from Shemayim. And the Chassidim were hoping that they missed the boat. The Rebbe missed the boat. And they came to Yafo, and the boat was pulling away. And the Chassidim was so happy. And the Rebbe said, we're driving to Haifa. It's going to make a stop in Haifa, the boat, to pick up passengers in Haifa. He said, Rebbe, it takes, in those days, a car to get from Tel Aviv to Haifa. Shatayim. More than that. In those days, in the 40s, a car. A good few hours. So they said, but Rebbe, the boat goes on the water. There's no traffic, no. Rebbe says, we're going to Haifa. I have to go. I have to get on the boat. And they were driving the whole way, the Rebbe saying with them. And he had three of the oldest Chassidim, the Choshev Chassidim in the back. And there was the one, his Gabbai, they weren't talking the whole time. They were so tense and nervous. And the Gabbai, his name was Chalatovsky, it was a big tzaddik. The Gabbai was holding the Rebbe's papers. He had the passport. So they were getting nuts. They were already up, not so far from Haifa. And the Gabbai started to think, I have to be Maisa Nefesh. I can't let the Rebbe go back to Poland. And he had this machshava that he's going to throw the passport out the window. He's just going to chuck it out the window. Then the Rebbe's going to get to Haifa. Rebbe, no Rebbe. You're not getting on the boat. So he said that the second he had the machshava, the Rebbe turned around and said, give me my passport. Right now. He said like this, Don't play with me. Give me the passport. I just read this on the outside. And the Rebbe held the passport the whole time until when they got there, it was just Adar going to pull out, and they ran, and the Rebbe ran there, and he was on the boat. Of course, he was killed. But he knew that he was going to get killed. But the entire existence is in that world of machshava. So the Gabbai, who knew him so well, because when the Gabbai told his obviously, I don't know what I was thinking, but I couldn't help myself. I should have just thrown it. Yeah, but I had this machshava, and then when I had the machshava, then it was already finished. And I couldn't keep it. Instead of just throwing it, I had a machshava, and then the second I had the machshava, he told me to give me the fast, to give him the fast. a person is what the machshava is. It's a metziyas, the machshava. It's not like we think that it's something. It doesn't mean anything. It's a metziyas, the machshava is a metziyas. Just in this last sentence, he says, if tefillah b'soch kedei mishus b'yadayim or istaklus alem ain't a ruia al haskama v'kama tefillah b'soch kedei hira al badim, because you can imagine that's just if the guy's touching the material. What if he's thinking about business? He's thinking about how much material he has to work on that day. Hamachaber sodom tvei al ilomim, that he's being more and more bound to that other world, not the world of Hashem. Harbe yoysem an ishus ashma, how much more so than just touching something, when a person's mamish in the world of machshava. All of this is just to help us understand what it means a machshava. He's going to go into the machshava latoiv, a machshava of elokus, and how we could develop our way of thinking in elokus. Let me show you continue.